Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Hey, we'll do fitting well for a Sunday, hopefully. You know, it's always nice to come up. To come down here from Auckland, and just see some new faces. Because it's always a privilege to come and talk to people. Yeah, you know, and especially in the smaller ecclesias, you know, where you've actually got something really special. You know, because it's such a close group of people. And you socialise, and you have fellowship, probably a lot closer and a lot better than quite a few other ecclesias actually do. So when we come down to the smaller ecclesias, we feel it as well. You know, we feel like, you know, we were welcomed at the Sutcliffes, and you know, I didn't have to sleep in the garage or I didn't have to pitch a tent. We actually got a double bed to sleep in. You forget, you know, the precious things with ecclesias are quite often the small things. You know, and just friendships and fellowship is basically what the ecclesia is about. Anyway, I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about first comes belief, which is quite topical in the current environment, with so much stuff going on in the world. But exhortation, as we all know, is a chance to encourage. It's a chance for us to draw closer and enjoy each other's fellowship. It's a chance to reflect on ourselves as we sit here on a Sunday. We should be reflecting on our hearts and our minds, to reflect on others. What have we actually done for somebody else this week, as opposed to, is it all been about me? In the week or the days that have been, it's an opportunity to re-examine ourselves and to refocus our lives on a Sunday, and to hone our minds on what's important. That's God's word, brothers and sisters. His promises to us, and understanding what God has in line for us, for you and for me. When we are found faithful, so we've always got to have a positive train of thought when his son returns to set up his kingdom on this earth. But first comes belief. We've got to have a belief in what we are here for. And that, and belief means a confidence or trust. And it also means to remain steadfast in your walk. So we've got to have a belief, a true belief, before we can have faith and a true appreciation and love in our God. In fact, we're commanded in 1 John 3, where he says in verse 20, he says there, "And dear friends, if your hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence," and that's the word belief, "before God, and receive from him anything we ask for, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him." And this is his command. And this is his actually command, to believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. That's the first one. You've got to have belief. And to love, agape, self-sacrificial, not thinking about you, thinking about other people. And to love one another as he commanded us. That's the second biggest thing, isn't it? So we've got to have that belief. We've got to have that love for each other. And it continues on, "Those who obey his commandments live in him and he in them." And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the spirit he gave us. That's the words out of John. I didn't make those up. That's straight out of scripture. And that's pretty much an exhortation straight there, isn't it? You know, finding time for God can be hard. I find it hard. I know the young people can find it hard. Especially in these times and days where we've got so much going on in our lives. Everyone's busy. And as a result, our belief, our confidence, and ultimately our faith and our love for each other suffers, or can suffer. And so I think it's important that we just come here again this morning to refocus or to resharpen our minds to concentrate specifically on what is and what should be the most important part of our lives, and that is having a firm conviction and belief in what we know is right. We know it's right. So believe it. Put it into practice. And preparing ourselves for the near return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so how can we be confident that we actually hold on to the truth in this world today? With all the academic achievements out there, with all the religions everywhere, how can I possibly be confident in my beliefs? How can I ever be able to compare myself to people like Abel, who got killed by his brother, John the Baptist, who stood up for what he believed in and lost his head, Samson, who went through trials and tribulations in his life, harder than probably what any one of us here have ever gone through, came out the other side of it, killed himself. He got killed when the pillars came down. Stephen, stoned to death. Have you ever even thought about what being stoned to death, how evil and bad that would be? How painful that sort of death, slow, and that would be dreadful. Stoned to death, James killed by the sword, Zechariah who died for their beliefs, and we can go on, there's examples and samples all throughout scripture of people who stood up for what they believed in it with confidence, and it's there for an example for us every day to remind ourselves, keep strong in your faith and your path. How can we have that confidence? I don't think I can. How do we even compare to those people? How do we know that the Bible is really the inspired word of God? How can we be sure? Well, I'm a pretty straightforward guy, so just sort of stripping everything away, here's a couple of really simple concepts that I found helpful anyway, a good way to cement God's word, and this is good for the young people too, Sam, ever listen to this one. Archaeology, simple, right? Archaeology has proved to me time and time again that the Bible is an accurate historical account record. It's an easy one to pick up outside of the scripture. You can prove what's said and stated in the scripture just by having a look at archaeology that stands on its own over there. We have prophecy. Prophecy has shown me that the Bible must have been inspired, written by a higher power. And there's prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know, they are just too incredible to dismiss. And we've got the Dead Sea Scrolls as another example, which categorically prove that they were scribed before the Lord Jesus Christ was even born. You know, stuff like that we can't actually ignore. It's fact. Isaiah 53, which is the prophecy about the Lord's death. Have a read of Isaiah 53. It's too accurate to ignore. And Isaiah wrote Isaiah 53 in 700 BC, 700 years before Christ was even born. Israel as a people is another good, and I can stand up here all morning, how long you got. God promised that they would be scattered, but they would be regathered again into the land. Psalm 106 says, "Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among all the heathen, and give thanks to your holy name. I will surely assemble all of you, O Jacob. I will gather the remnant of Israel." Ezekiel 39. "When I bring them back from the peoples and gather them from all their enemies, then I shall be sanctified through them in the sight of all the nations." Isaiah 54, Psalm 107. Even though it took centuries and centuries, what the Bible said happened has happened. You know, so we're starting to get some pretty solid basis here for belief, right? What the Bible actually says is belief, is true. Israel is now back in the land. And so if you want some plain and straightforward evidence, there it is. It's straightforward. The evidence is there, and there's so much more, but at the end it comes down to your choice. Will you or will you not believe it? The Bible really is the word of God, brothers and sisters. It's as simple as that. I want to take you back to the first book in the Bible. Let's just go back to Genesis for a moment and have a look at the first occurrence of the word believe in Scripture. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. Story of Abraham, isn't it? Where it says, Abraham believed in the Lord and it was counted to him for righteousness. So he believed and it was counted to him for righteousness. He was blessed as a result. Abraham, in this example, shows us the rock-like qualities of belief and faith, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Conversely, on the other side of the coin, we hear and we know that the children of Israel had a problem in the area of belief and conviction, didn't they? Exodus chapter 4, verse 1, speaking to Moses, and he said, "But behold," speaking to the children of Israel, "they will not believe, nor hearken unto my voice, and say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee." And because of their lack of belief or lack of faith, almost all of them perished in the wilderness. So there's two stark examples there, isn't there? Abraham, who believed and was counted to him for righteousness. Children of Israel didn't believe and they perished in the wilderness. Do we want to be like them? No, of course not. So now is the time to be helping each other, not hindering or complaining, or simply not getting involved. So again, brothers and sisters, let us examine the way before us now as we meet to remember the Lord and Saviour who had that perfect belief, conviction and faith. Okay then, so how can we further reinforce our belief or work to strengthen our conviction? Well, as always, firstly we turn to the Word of God, our Bibles, where we see so many examples, as we've already talked about a couple of them, of people who devoted their lives to learning and gaining an appreciation of the things of God and his purpose for us. And there's all sorts of examples again, like Samuel, Jeremiah, Esther, Deborah, David, the apostles, to name a few, but of course the greatest example we have is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who always turned to God in prayer. Whenever we have any doubts or problems, people, in joy or in sadness, prayer is an amazing tool we can have if we need to pour our hearts out to God and ask for help, belief, ask for faith, love, whatever we need. Whenever we need it, God is always there to listen and to hear us. You know, talk to the Heavenly Father. A problem shared is a problem halved, as they say. You know, and we've got a fantastic example in Scripture. In the Lord's Prayer, Psalm chapter 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." What is a shepherd? Who is a shepherd? A shepherd provides, a shepherd protects, a shepherd guides, and a shepherd gathers us close together. If in doubt, young people and brothers and sisters, use prayer. Think of the Lord's Prayer. He is our shepherd. That's the perfect example of what it's there for, to provide, protect, to guide, and to gather us together. It's a tool that he's given us to help us We're human. We need help, man. Trust me. We need help. This is a really good one. 1 Peter chapter 5. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time. Write this piece down, people. Write this down. Casting all of your care or anxiety upon him. Now, just think about that for a second. Casting all your care and anxiety. What's anxiety? Mate, anxiety is the biggest problem of the 21st century in this world today. Anxiety is depression, stress, mental health. Right? It's a cause of so many problems in this world. Relationship breakdowns, peer pressure amongst the young people in the school, universities. It's a feeling of, I'm not good enough. You know, NZ, our country's got the highest rate of our teenagers killing themselves, committing suicide through mental health issues. So what's this verse telling us? Check it out again, guys. Look at it. Casting all of your care or anxiety, as it is in the NIV, upon him. He'll look it after it for you. He'll sort it out for you. Because he cares for you, is how the verse ends. He's not doing it for himself. He's doing it for you guys. Put all your stress and drama in life, all your pressure, all the mental health issues. Look, it's a problem that can be solved if you share and talk to the Heavenly Father, cast all your cares upon him. Focus on what it's all about as far as the scripture is concerned. Faith and belief. Put your anxieties on him. You know, the word care there in the Greek, it means to be an object of care. And that means that you've basically got 100% of his attention. He's focused on you if you ask for him. He's holding you like a prized possession, wrapping his arms around you. You know, just think about that. How fantastic is that? We go to Revelation 21. And God shall wipe away all tears from your eyes, and there shall be no more death, or sorrow, or anxiety, or crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. The former things are passed away. There you have it. That's the life cycle, pretty much, right there, right? You know, we're humans. We suffer, we sin, we get anxiety, we get stress and depression. God goes, well, I've got this out here to help you. Put your dramas on me. I will work with them, I'll relieve your pressure. I'll give you another goal in your life to focus on, positivity, to help each other, help someone else. Don't think about your dramas in your own life. And there's plenty of other people out there worse off than you are. It's really, just really important to, you know, to understand that the Bible covers everything off. It's pretty cool. We're told time and time again in the scripture to build ourselves up strong as a chosen people, as Christ did. So therefore, brothers and sisters, if there is ever a time to embrace the teaching of the Bible, it's now. Stick to the truth. Stick to the word. Don't be tempted to get involved in other churches out there. Don't try and push the boundaries. Stick to the truth. Stick to the word of God. We really believe and we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is so close, brothers and sisters. Israel is back in the land. The prophet said it would happen. And it happened. We could turn to Daniel, you know, just speaks to the king of the north. he comes down and working alongside Persia, Iran. And the prophets again said Israel and Jerusalem would be in turmoil. Oh my goodness. Look at the news today. It is in turmoil. Brothers and sisters, there's not much else still to actually happen before the Lord Jesus Christ returns back to this earth. So we live in such exciting times, I think. They are exciting times. So we've got to hold on to our belief. Reignite it if we have to. And we've got to sort our lives so we are set and prepared for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. If these things are beginning to prick on your heart as you sit there, and you start to be concerned or worried perhaps, you start thinking, am I ready? Have I ordered my life? Well, of course, you're at the right place. Because here in the bread and the wine, we remember the Lord Jesus Christ's sacrifice. He lived a perfect life. It wasn't without trials and tribulations and stress and dramas in his life. He went through that too. But he overcame them, didn't he? In death, he overcame sin. In fact, he beat it. He was victorious because he never sinned. He wrought a great victory over it. And the Lord God has said, if you'll confirm the problem, or you actually do it, we know we sin, but we need to overcome that and share in the victory. And ultimately, that means sharing in that kingdom to come. And what a blessing that is. Is that something that we can let slip from our minds as we go from this week in front of us now, waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to become? Brothers and sisters, there are those in ecclesias all around the world who are slipping. They are letting the truth go through their hands, like sand slipping through their fingers. What about you? Will you hold on?